mais c'est juste une minute. Et on a su comme ça benzine la vie. Comrades from the great province of KwaZulu-Natal, Siyanamukela futhi. Welcome. I hope you enjoyed your stay like Cape Town. Mhlawumbe kabanye benu next year niyobe nihlele the site khona la kwaSigubha sazi sizobona. I want to request once again, as always, Uthi, can we switch our cellular phones off? May we switch our cellular phones off so that they don't disturb our proceedings. Comrade Deputy Minister, I think since this is the first engagement between ourselves and you, I'm not sure whether with you as a chairperson, not as Deputy Minister, we'll use both interchangeably for purpose of accountability. Maybe we need to start by knowing who is here, and for you to also know the comrades on the right. So, Kala Lapogin is the show in Oban.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and also thank you for the opportunity. Can I, for formality, say I'm Mondli Kunguvele, the chair of the PIC, and another side being the Deputy Minister Finance. On my left,
switch the mic on.
Sorry. Good morning, Chair and members of this distinguished committee. My name is Tolane Mkhwanazi. I'm a non-executive director of the Public Investment Corporation and also the deputy chair of PIC.
Good morning, Chair and members of the committee. I'm Daniel Machila, the Chief Executive Officer of the PIC.
All right. thank you very much. Comrades, may we introduce ourselves. Start here.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Nyamize Lipuwe, member of the committee.
Dumela mdula stulo na ke sakike kana ke leloko la committee ena.
Good morning colleagues, my name is Thapelo Chilwane, member of the committee.
Good morning, Chairperson Mkhuleko Hlengwa, member of the committee.
Good morning, Chairperson David Ross, member of the committee.
Good morning, David Mania, member of the finance committee.
Right, thanks very much. I'm Comrade Temba Goti. I chair the committee. Comrade Chairperson of the PIC Board, we once again would like to thank you very much and your team. I think this is the leanest team we have ever met. We want to thank you for making time to meet with us. We we had made a request to you in your capacity as the chairperson of the board of the PIC on the 4th of June 2018, where we indicated that as a committee we had resolved that we need to have this engagement. Because of the concerns that we had arising out of a series of negative publicity or media commentary that was not painting the PIC in good light, which was a cause for concern for us. You would have noted that in the recent past we had taken up issues that impacted on the SABC, on SAA, on Transnet. We even had to subpoena the board of and management of Transnet to appear in January this year. We have taken up the issue of Eskom, not only in relation to Tegeta, but even the challenges they are having with their municipalities. You know, we are the one committee that has taken up Eskom, called Kokta, called Salga, even called the 10 defaulting municipalities to come in an account because their actions were having a negative impact on Eskom. We have just had our second meeting with the interministerial task team on that very issue of municipalities. So the issues around the PIC were of concern to us, and we thought it is important to provide the PIC with a platform here in Parliament to clarify things, to clear things, to dispel myths, so that one, as COPA and as Parliament, we can be satisfied that there is nothing untoward, but also that in case there are issues that are not going accordingly, we are able to arrest and correct them timeously, and not to always crisis manage. We have seen how Eskom, in the recent past, in some few years back, actually had a sovereign rating higher than that of the country. But look where Eskom is today. The IMF has actually underlined Eskom as a country risk. Now the PIC, as we know, currently in terms of the reports that we hear, is doing well. Lots of cash that it has. But that is no reason for complacency. We need to be constantly and consistently vigilant in ensuring that nothing goes wrong. So if we get these things, our concern will be there. And also we know that the benefits of public servants employees are a defined benefit, which means if anything goes wrong with the PIC, it is the fiscal that must carry the can. So it will be responsible of Parliament not to to take interest whenever there are any signs or even hints that something might go wrong. Having learned our lessons as a country from your Eskom, from your SAA, from your SABC, and we can see even Transnet. Transnet is having a lot of cash, but you can see that there are a lot of wrong things that are creeping in, which if not arrested, will render it to the same level as your Denel and the rest of them. So I think that is the context. And like I said, Never mind what you, Comrade Chair, Mr. Chair, what you hear when you visit Chisanyamas in Khayelitsha, what they say about us and all that kind of stuff. We're not like that. Our main interest when we call people is to provide them a platform to explain things, to explain themselves, and to assure the public and parliament that things are fine. So that is the positive spirit from which we come. Now, having said that, when I wrote to you in June, I had said, before we can set a date for engagement, we would like information and documents, because we're hearing a lot of things, but we didn't want to act on the basis of rumors and things we hear, you know, in Galilee and all those places. We said, can you get information documents? And we said, let us use the request by the former minister, Mr. M.K.N. Gigaba, on the letter that he sent to the PIC on the 9th of October 2017. Which letter had requested that you furnish him with all PIC transactions, both listed and unlisted investments, concluded in the last 3 years, the amounts on transactions concluded, transactional advisors and sponsors, amounts paid by the PIC to those transactional advisors and sponsors, disclosure of all BEE consortiums in those transactions, stating specifically each individual or legal entity that has participated in that consortium. In the case of a legal entity, the directors and shareholders of the entity, a list of transactions concluded with parties classified as PIPs or prominent influential persons, details of individuals or companies who have been funded by the PIC or participated in PIC transactions more than once in the past 3 years, reflecting the amounts of the transactions. And I said, once this information is given to us, I said in the fourth paragraph, once we have these documents, we will, together with documents at our disposal, determine the scope or areas of focus for our engagement. Meaning, if we had been given this information, we would then have then sat down and say, okay, based on what we have, what are the things that we would want you to clarify? Those things that you have given to us that are clear and we're satisfied, they are okay. But those areas where we feel there might be something gray, then let us have a discussion on. And we emphasized that our main and only concern remains the prevention of mismanagement of public funds, and so on and so on. Now, I'm raising this chairperson to say, we wrote to you in June and we're meeting now in November, that is 6 months later. And we're meeting today, the information that we requested from you is not in our possession. Besides the toing and froing of letters and the endless telephone calls and even our personal engagement, myself and yourself, on this matter, I think what we have in front of us right now is the letter you sent to me yesterday afternoon from yourself, as well as the letter from your attorneys, because it appears that you then had to go and seek a legal opinion on what to do with our request for you to give us information and to appear before us. And according to according to your letter, and I'm sure comrades have it, the first paragraph on the second page, you say, together with the CEO, we'll attend tomorrow's meeting to deliberate on this matter. Seek further counsel from honorable members of your committee and thereafter chart a way forward in this regard. Now, my reading, Chair, is that because you have a legal advice, which says, and I'm sure comrades have seen that letter and have gone through it from Norton Rose Fulbright, which has made certain recommendations to you in terms of what they think, and you have also said that you can't ignore that legal opinion. Which then causes that first paragraph on page 2 where you say, well, you want us to discuss this and for us to agree on the way forward. So I suppose that is the context in which we are meeting. Now, I want to check with you if the background that I've painted correctly captures your understanding and the intentions on which you have come here today, and for you maybe to elaborate a little further how and what it is that you think we need to take the process forward. All we want to do is to exercise oversight. Let me hand over to you so that comrades can then maybe do what you're suggesting, having the benefit of your input.
Yeah, thank you, Honorable Chair. Thanks, Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. Up front, Honorable Chair, I must say that the picture you've painted is perfectly consistent. But I thought maybe it would be useful for me to make some few remarks that as PIC, we are not here to question the authority of the Portfolio Committee under any circumstances. And I thought we needed to put that key. And secondly, say we understand the background against which the Portfolio Committee wants us to appear if we take into account the public. The reports that are there in public about the institution. We are also heartened by the acknowledgement that the committee is aware of the positive work of the institution. But however, committee is saying it can't keep quiet when those controversies find their way in the public space. The other point I also wanted to clear, which could at the risk of it being misunderstood, is that we are very clear that the work of this committee is not subject to what the executive does. Maybe it's important to also make that acknowledgement. The mentioning of the Commission of Inquiry is purely and say, is it possible that for efficiency, a particular approach could be looked at? Not because this committee's work is subject to what the executive does, but it's important to articulate that. Because we know these are two independent institutions which have separate roles. But without Chair, it's also important to unambiguously express our apology. Because having said, we are able to accept that we don't think our response to this correspondence has been as efficient as it was supposed to. The facts are, for instance, is that The only board meeting that sat and looked at this thing was on Friday, this last Friday. And when you look at the list of correspondences, we thought it is important to acknowledge that. But however, having acknowledged it, we had an option to say, because we are dealing with this opinion, we don't come here. We said, no, it can't. We cannot have any reason not to appear when we're called by a portfolio committee. We'd rather come and articulate our problems here, and then let's see how the committee guides. And because between Friday and today, it was not easy for us to come with a clear determination of the board. Because if you look at the broader picture of the correspondence, it's possible that there are things that this legal opinion does not have to call, does not affect. So, but between Friday and now, it was not easy to come as a committee, as a board, to actually do that. Now, we have this period and this meeting today. We thought it's rather respectful to this committee to be here and actually put this issue in the manner chair you have put and say, we've got this opinion and our looking at it coincide with this meeting and now we're here. Rather not appearing, let's appear. So whatever we do when we sit at the board, it takes into account what would have developed in the committee. And I thought it was important to do that, but repeat that, we thought it was important to express our apology as far as some limited efficiency in the manner we've dealt. I take that as a chairperson of the board.
All right, comrades, I think, I hope we've heard what the chairperson of the board is saying. Despite the legal opinion that they have, they still felt it is important to appear and for us and them to agree on how to handle this. So, Comrade Boy, Comrade Lengwa, Chilwane Ross. Yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair of the Board, you make it a little bit difficult for us. You see, usually what you do is the operational side of the committee, we leave it to the chairperson to sort it out. And the portfolio committee gets down into substance. Now today's meeting in the history of parliament, we're now forced to negotiate how to work with PIC. But that's what the legal arguments are presented, opposing to us. And usually we allow the chair to sort out all the nitty-gritties. And then what comes to committee, to the committee, is that what are the challenges in terms of the substance? Is it possible that we should place this report? The chair will report to us and says, these are the issues that have been raised and this is what has happened. I had then concluded as a chair to do this and this and this. Now it's historical that we are now in this situation where it is us as the portfolio committee in full that must give guidance and how that relationship gets shaped. Whatever the challenges are, I know that within the letter by your legal advice, it at least acknowledges that the PIC can engage and can report and can be held accountable by SCOPA as a parliamentary committee. Yes. That, I thought they would have surmised what your concerns would have been at an early stage, that there is a relationship that could take place between the two institutions. And then after that, whatever is outstanding in terms of substance, we always recommend to different committees within our tradition and history of relating to different committees that talk to our chairperson, take guidance from him. If you've got sensitivity, let him give a guide on how to present that sensitivity to Parliament. If you want to have a closed meeting, what processes could be followed for that particular closed meeting? Because you are quite sensitive about our own role of being able to maintain the public informed about what we are doing, our own role of making sure that the sensitivity and the confidentialities that are put in place of PIC are not being pushed by our demands, but they have been set out between the parliamentary legal team and the PIC legal team, so that there's a guide of how we relate to each other around confidentiality. Our last experience as Parliament overall as an institution has been the standoff case of how we should relate to each other when it comes to sensitivities that are interrelated to Parliament, committees, and different institutions. So that would be where we are in relation and how we talk to each other. Really, Chair, I had not found anything new coming from the legal opinion that deviates or takes us off the fact that PIC can engage with Parliament, and then PIC can then, in terms of substance and information, share some time with the chairperson of the committee and pinpoint the type of information that are quite sensitive that you wouldn't want to share with the committee or with the public in terms of your own rules. And then we see in how we can really work together those particular issues without being aggressive and demanding. When it comes to this level, we keep to our mandate of demanding from him in his own levels of being ready that why is this not here, why is that not here? Then he gives an explanation. So we'd have to start there now. But if ever that engagement was done outside this meeting, we'd have been dealing with the substance. We want the substance, and we'll plead with the chair and your team that give us that opportunity to have the substance of issues so that before we rise as Parliament, we could be able to furnish the public about what PIC is doing good, what we are seeing that PIC has done a lot of good work about, which we are quite excited about. But we must say that areas that there are concerns that have started coming to the public space, which attracts our interest. And we thought that it's important for PIC to be given an opportunity, if it finds those issues not to be confidential or issues that they can share with the public, to use the parliamentary platform to share those point of views and then clarify some of those issues so that you can always be equal with each other in how we explain what the PIC is doing, the positive things, and deal with the negativities, so that it's not only one voice, the PIC voice, but also parliamentarians within our oath that they have taken, were able to protect our institution with a well-informed position that we have derived, hearing what the PIC and how they explain whatever has been heard outside. Whether it's a judicature, we don't enforce it, because it's the law, it's not us. Then we allow the law to take its course where there are sensitivities. So we just call chairperson that I would call really for a chat for us to be given time to be able to engage after this meeting. When can you have the PIC back to come and give us the substantial issues which we could work together on to continue explaining to the public what are those issues? Thank you, Chairperson.
All right. Just before you say more, Chair, I see the letter that you wrote to me yesterday, including the legal opinion. But Where is the letter that you sent to the lawyers? The brief that you gave the lawyers? All right. No. Let's keep it. Yeah. What is the deputy chair saying?
Chair, I'm saying we're trying to ascertain how the briefing to the lawyers happened between our secretariat and them. Was it a physical meeting or a letter as you request?
And who took the decision for lawyers to be briefed?
We took the decision.
Oh, but then the implementation? All right, let me give Lengwe in the meantime, but I'll be interested in getting that because we need to... Yeah, after Lengwe, I'm coming to you and then Chief.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think you, in fact, you have preempted me because I wanted to start exactly there. I wanted to, for the board to give us its sense of thought. How did they arrive at a determination to seek legal advice? On what basis they did? That's the first thing. So I think, Chair, we need to get that that logic on the table, because I think it is going to be the thrust upon which we can be able to make a determination. But secondly, Chair, I want to be frank and forthright from the outset. I don't think that the PIC has dealt with us in good faith. Chairperson, your letter is dated the 4th. The 4th of June. And then there's an invite on the 6th of June, of November. And the response to that invite is to go and seek legal opinion. And then, Chairperson, if you go to that legal opinion, which quite frankly I find to be irrational and inconsistent in many material respects, but I'll draw you to paragraph 1013 on page 5, where then it is, in our opinion, the authority of the Commission and its obligations to do its work efficiently is more important than and trumps the inquiry by SCOPA. And I'm inclined to believe that...
Which paragraph are you reading?
1013, Chairperson, on page 5 of the opinion.
Okay.
And I'm inclined to believe, Chairperson, that was the paragraph that was needed for this so-called ruse now of a difficulty. I don't think I take kindly, Chairperson, to what I believe to be a waste of time of this committee and yourself in the multiple interactions that you have had with the PIC, as you said in your introduction, for only then the chair of the board, Chair, to then yesterday, after all those interactions, from, let's say, just from June, put aside all else, to then say, together, like you've read, together with the CEO, we'll attend tomorrow's meeting to deliberate on this matter, seek further counsel from honorable members of your committee, and thereafter to way forward in this regard. What have you been doing this whole time? It just worries me, Chairperson. And I mean, I want to say categorically that I believe that the appearance by the board today is a malicious compliance. It's not done in good faith. Because I would have imagined that the deliberations that you would have had, as Honorable Boy have said, would have been to set about a framework of operation on all the areas of concern that the PIC may have had. and then those should have been presented to us prior. Now, this whole time, they've been buying time, because, Chairperson, you see, what is in the public domain now, in government institute, government departments and entities, is the fact that we are at the tail end of our term, and therefore it's like in a relationship where you string somebody along until you arrive at your own desired outcome. And the desired outcome in this regard is that our term of office is going to expire, and hopefully this matter will die a natural death. I'm emphatic in the belief, and I'm not going to be convinced otherwise, that the PIC has not dealt with us in good faith. I'm really interested to understand the rationale from all the correspondence that we have had, because to seek a legal opinion, as far as I'm concerned, speaks to a jittery outlook in terms of what will be uncovered and unearthed by what we will be doing. And therefore, we have to find a defense mechanism which sort of strings us along to say that there's a legal opinion, there's legal basis, which then prevents us from actually doing what you're supposed to be doing. So, Chair, I want to be categorically clear. I do not accept this legal opinion. For whoever may have written it, they can, as far as I'm concerned, they have not applied their mind. And quite frankly, I think they have given a personal opinion as opposed to a legal opinion. Because the nerve, cheek, and audacity to think that Parliament can be trumped by something else on its own speaks to the short-sightedness of understanding the issues of checks and balance and the constitutional framework of this country. To think that there's a process elsewhere which is bigger than Parliament. But everybody wants their appropriation from Parliament. So when that is required, then Parliament is relevant and important. Chairperson, these are people's lives we are dealing with here. These are people's sustainable livelihoods. And these are people's taxes. We've got a duty and obligation as this committee in general, but as this Parliament in particular, to make sure that we safeguard the public purse. Because, Chair, even the inquiry in itself was announced on the 17th of October, way after we as this committee had set into motion the process of wanting to interact and engage with the PIC. So where do they get the cheek and audacity to tell us that that afterthought, what the Afrikaners would call a lat lamaki, is far more important than this process? So I don't think the PIC must come here and undermine us with a shady legal opinion. We want that brief, because it is quite possible that the brief was such that design a legal opinion which gives us the defense that we want. Thank you, Chair.
Right. Ross?
Yeah. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, two issues of serious concern. Minister, the last time we engaged, it is a couple of days ago, in terms of the integrated financial management system.
That was yesterday.
Yesterday, exactly. And it was also under your leadership that we, to a certain extent, had to fight to get a forensic report presented to us. It was a strange scenario, and you will remember the comment that I made that please don't kick the can down the road to Mr. Donda. In terms of providing us with the necessary information. It's highly unfortunate that in terms of a leadership, that the next round that we engage with you, it seems that we get a legal opinion that says we cannot be presented with our recommendations. And we hear the timelines in terms of 4th of June until today that nothing has been done. And I think my colleague, Mr. Slenger, is quite correct to say, what have you done in the meantime to present us with these documents? So those two issues are concerning in terms of leadership abilities, that we cannot always, in terms of Treasury, we expect timeous reports. And let me then immediately move to the second issue of great concern. The financial statements has not been presented to the Finance Committee, the annual reports for 2017-18. In terms of the obligations of the Auditor General, have you engaged with the Finance Committee? Has it been presented? And when was it presented? Before September. But it was presented, but it omits the unlisted investments.
All No.
Just
note the issues that's raising your own.
If it omits the unlisted investments, it's in terms of the normal trend of reporting, it is highly concerning that we, before we even start engaging in those would be specifically with regards to the unlisted investments by the PIC, that we receive a legal opinion before we start engaging. But Chairperson, I would like to make the point in terms of the legal opinion. I think we need to get a parliamentary legal opinion on this legal opinion that we can answer this in terms of a legal opinion back to the PIC, and really that the committee will engage with Advocate Jenkins on such a legal opinion. That is my proposal today to the committee, and I hope that you might accept that. Secondly, in terms of the audited statements, I think we need to engage on a very serious in terms of matter, in terms of time frames with the Auditor General itself. If there were any of detailed submissions that were omitted in terms of the presentation of the audited statements, which is obligated to be presented by at least September for 2017-18 financial year. That would be my second proposal. And then I was hoping today, Chairperson, that we can have a financial discussion in terms of the return on investments in your unlisted portfolio, but also that you will give us some clarity, especially with regard to state-owned the unlisted investments, which seems to be the big bone of contention, and how you deal with your unlisted investments. It's roughly 70 billion rand per year. It's a small percentage in terms of your asset base, which is 2 trillion, but it's still a huge chunk of money, 70 billion in unlisted. And I was hoping to find some clarity in terms of return on investments. Do you invest in funds, and what is your screening processes? I thought we will discuss those issues, which would be highly interesting for me. And in terms of your return on investments, what were the investments made to state-owned entities, and what was expected? Was it a guarantee, or was it a loan, a soft loans, and how much was it to state-owned entities? Those would be my questions for today. If you can give us some indications today, I would appreciate that.
All right. As I give Comrade Chulan, remember, comrades, that the issue, I'm giving Comrade Chulan first, the issue here is they have a legal opinion that says there are issues of confidentiality. Secondly, that there is an inquiry, which, as Lengo correctly read, says it is more important than the work of the committee. But can we agree that that part of the inquiry, let's put it aside, totally irrelevant, and I think this man must have smoked something, I don't know what. That's why I wanted to get your brief to him. Because we have met with CETA. They were busy with the forensic investigation. We met with the police, even National Treasure on the IFMS. That's why yesterday's meeting was, I think, the 4th. So, for me, comrades, the issue is confidentiality. How do we deal with that so that we can then have a full engagement in line with what I think Ross was now moving into? If we tie that down, then we can then move to say when then can we meet, when can we get information, and then we engage. I think we're trying to clear those things so that we have a common understanding. Comrade Chilo.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think you correctly captured it in terms of the confidentiality and the letter that you sent to the board in June. Could they have sent that information to you? You could have been able to seek, to sort what is it that is confidential and that is not confidential. But Chairperson, I want to raise an issue here to say this is the undermining of Parliament in the highest order since I became a member of Parliament. It's my first encounter such things, because the chairperson of the board said they had a meeting on Friday the 16th of the board to talk about this issue. But then I'm asking myself, after all these other things that have been happening in the PIC, is the only meeting of the board that was sitting between from the date that you wrote the letter and the 16th, which means maybe something is wrong with us as parliament. We are not holding boards the way we're supposed to do. That's one thing, Chairperson. The other thing that I wanted to suggest, I'm going to second the matter that was raised by Honorable Boy, to say that we really need to set a date. PIC must just give us information. It doesn't work to say that we'll have a legal opinion in terms of us receiving information. We have a right to receive information. We have a right to interrogate information. I think that one, CEO, you just have to oblige. It's not a matter that we're going to say, it's okay, you've submitted a legal opinion. It doesn't work like that. Because even if you check on the dates, Chairperson, the dates are just from within this week when we're preparing to come here. Why do you seek a legal opinion during this week when you're supposed to come? Because you could have seek a legal opinion from the date where you received the letter. It was going to be understandable. And we've had so many officials saying that the matter is sub judice. It doesn't work here in Parliament. Sub judice, we're not calling for people to come here, those are affected. We're calling the accounting authority to come and account in the committee. I think, Chairperson, that's what I'm trying to, I want to add my voice onto that one, to say we really need to see them. And, Chairperson, it's not like we are ending on, because Parliament is coming to, not to rise, our term is finishing. But this matter we must finish, we must deal with it here in this committee before we go for elections next year. We really need to do that.
All right.
Thank you.
Are we making progress with the letter to the lawyers or to the brief to the lawyers? No, they must respond to us whether they have the letter.
Chairperson, according to my colleagues, the briefing was done telephonically with the lawyers.
Because we want to know what is it that was said to the lawyers for them to respond the way they did. Do you have the...
confirm the discussion in a letter and then together with the legal opinion, the lawyers.
Can we have their letter of confirmation as well as I'm sure there are minutes of your resolution to seek a legal opinion, are they? The decision was not taken in the board meeting. Where was it taken? By who?
My chair, please allow me to just give background to this committee and the chair. I think a bit of background will assist in this regard, chair. Your letter does refer to, if I would call, an original letter from the then Minister Gigaba on the 9th of October last year, which was asking for a whole lot of information. I'm not sure if you have that letter.
to deal with that instruction for information by the then minister, the board engaged extensively with that letter and in discussions, as well as the executives, in terms of looking at that information, which the minister was requiring, the practicality, the legality from our side in vis-a-vis our clients and investees, how much and what are we allowed to disclose to anybody that is outside the transaction parties. That discussion was very intense. It was in that meeting. Why was it intense? Because already we had established a practice of submitting these investments to.
Just on a point of order, I'm sorry to do this. I appreciate the background.
No. They wait.
No.
Excuse me.
No.
I'm on a point of order.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm just saying, can I finish?
No. I'm on a point of order.
Just hang on. Chair. CEO, can you switch off the mic? Yeah. Please. Chair, please. Let's hear Hlengwa. Is interrupting you? Yes.
Chair.
But if you rise on a point of order, it takes precedence. Yes, sir.
Chair, I appreciate the background. Fine. But can we not lose the nuance of the point of where we are at? Your question was, who or when was the decision taken for a legal opinion after the chair of the board said the decision was not taken at a meeting? Now, can we zoom into that? Because my understanding is the issue we are dealing with now is the issue of the brief and subsequent which gave birth to this legal opinion. Now, to give us something else, we lose the gist of this. Can we park the background and actually put this in the context which helps us understand where this came from?
Yeah.
Probably in the manner, there are two instances, Chair, maybe that's why this background is important. Might look unimportant. In the record, you will see that the opinion came on the 15th last week. But if you look at a bigger picture, is that maybe this is what I would have drawn your attention to, is that if you follow the sequences, when Honorable Minister Digaba wrote a letter detailing the nature of the transaction, the board at that time had a meeting and got a legal, what you call, a legal opinion on how to respond to the ministers, what you call. At that point, the board requested a meeting with the minister to engage with him on the legal opinion with regard to the contents of his, what you call, of his letter. It is at that point that the minister left before that meeting would have taken place between himself and the board. Then subsequently, the recent minister, Honorable Sasa, would have actually intervened around different issues. And your letter actually contains both Minister Gigaba's intervention and the minister, what you call, translators, what you call. And then the legal opinion gets sorted now on the, just before the 16th, I'm not sure about the date, and it gets given on the 15th, and we meet on the 16th on Friday. And after that, background becomes important in as far as Minister Kigaba, what you call, is concerned. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I want to give Mr. Minia, unless if you want to talk on the legal opinion and not on the substance of what we're talking to. No, I'm checking. Because I'd ask, no, talk to one. Talk to the legal opinion. Then on the substance, I'll give you the opportunity of the Honorable Mayor. Yes.
Chairperson, the first thing, PIC is a public entity. It's not somebody's private company. How can you seek a legal opinion on a letter that you have received from the minister? I don't understand at all. The minister is a body that is supposed to
what is monitor what you are doing, they write you a letter and you seek legal opinion. What are they hiding? What are you hiding for you to take a report from your principal and want to seek legal opinion? You see there, Chairperson, there's something, you can see from there that there's something wrong. This is your principal, he wants certain things and you go and seek for legal opinion, like it's your private company.
You wanted to talk on the legal opinion, Comrade Kekan? No, I'm checking. Is it on the legal opinion?
No.
Okay, no, it's fine. If it's not, I'll come back to you. I'll give... maybe we'll come back to the issue of the legal opinion. Because the Deputy Chair said it has been our practice. If I didn't get you well, it has been our practice to do things in a particular way. Now, it's a practice, it's not law. But maybe we'll come back to that at some point. I think it's fine. Pardon?
There's a particular way in which PIC deal with clients, what to call information. The instruction by the minister was affecting the clients, what to call information. And because of a particular way in which it is dealt with, it is in that context that the board then sought to be advised. Whether that was called
no, it's fine. I think we'll come back to that because there are specifics. I think, you see, what your lawyers should have done, because there is a list, they should have gone and said, on this one, all PIC transactions, listed and unlisted, this one is not confidential, you can do that. Amount of transactions concluded, no, this is confidential. So we're able to know what is it that is confidential, what is it, and then we can zoom in on what is confidential, discuss, agree, and then move forward. But you just...
We have laws in Parliament. If we can say to Department X that you did not follow Treasury regulations, we have laws and regulations that rule each and every entity and a Department of Government. Whether it's a practice or not, we need to know that practice, and so that we can look at it and it makes sense to us. Because if you can say to Department X, you did not follow Treasury regulations, according to PFMA, ABCD is wrong. And we let PIC to get away with it because they have a practice. That's the problem with a lot of entities. They made their own practice. That's why they have a problem right now, Chairperson. So if we could deal with that practice, because I don't think it makes sense at all.
No, that's fine. Let me give Honorable Mania, Comrade Kekane, and then let us just zoom on how we handle it. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I think for all the reasons that other members of this committee have pointed out, I mean, what we're seeing here is frankly is a case of amateur hour. And I think what really concerns me is that it is a symptom, in my view, of a virtual collapse in governance at the PIC. Had there been strong governance at the PIC, we would not be in this situation. That's the first point. The second point, Chair, if we come to I would rather call it legal advice rather than a legal opinion, because I note that the legal advice is provided by Patrick Bracker, who is a director at Norton Rose Fulbright South Africa, and is not a counsel and clearly does not have expertise in administrative law. And there are at least three flaws, I think, in the PIC's argument. The first flaw, I think, has already been pointed out in 10.13, where the legal advice concludes that the Commission of Inquiry, which is a creature of the executive, trumps the inquiry being conducted by SCOPA, which is a creature of Parliament in a constitutional democracy. That is the first flaw. The second flaw is the opinion seems to assume that the scope of the commission of inquiry will be similar to the scope of the inquiry conducted by SCOPA, which is just patently not true, because, as you know, the scope of the commission of inquiry traverses 2 years, whereas the request for documents traverses 3 years. So that's the second flaw. The third flaw is it doesn't appear to me that the PIC are even following their own advice. Because what is the advice, Chairperson? The advice is not that all information at the PIC is confidential. If you look at 9.6 of the opinion, it says, or you advise, you must claim confidentiality in regard to investment in information, which would give the PIC and its clients a disadvantage in the investment world and an advantage to those who obtain information regarding the investments and strategy of the PIC. But in fact, what the legal opinion is in fact saying is that there's only certain information that you may not or you should not disclose. And even if the committee agrees to some form of confidentiality, then you must disclose. So in fact, if you'd followed your own legal advice, you would have disclosed significant information ahead of this meeting. And then my last point, Chair, is again, the advice is flawed because the PIC claims, for example, that it cannot provide information about transaction advisors. Well, I've asked questions about a certain transaction advisor, and I have a very detailed parliamentary reply about the particulars of this transaction advisor. So why can't we have similar information in respect of every single transaction advisor over the last three years? That's the first point. The second point is we've referred to practice. Well, the PIC says it can't disclose any information. But there is an established practice over the last 3 years where the PIC in fact discloses significant detailed information about its unlisted investments. In fact, it discloses 16 elements per investment. So, I think, Chair, I mean, my advice would be that we get our own legal opinion on the legal advice which the PIC received. And that my proposal would be that the PIC discloses all the information to SCOPA, which it is required to do in terms of the law. And to the extent that it might be required to withhold certain information, then the PIC must specify what information it cannot disclose. But frankly, Chair, this is amateur hour, and it's evidence of a collapse of governance at the PIC.
Thanks. Comrade Kakan. If you have a suggestion on how we move forward, because I want us to then tie it down and agree on what needs to be done.
No, thanks, Chair. I'm going to talk on the process, because to be honest, I was listening to the discussion, and unfortunately, I also read what the so-called legal opinion. You see, the assumption from the PIC is, and it was clearly demonstrated by the Deputy Chair, that we seem not to understand our role, and he wanted to educate us that is on our role. And that, unfortunately, I don't accept. I think the direction that we need to take, Chair, it's very simple. You wrote a letter to the PIC in June, and you clearly indicated the information that we are looking for. And all what they were supposed to do
they were supposed to engage you on the information that you requested, or that is engage us as a team that is on the information that you requested. And on the issues that they are raising, that of going to lawyers and seeking, that is the so-called legal opinion, I think I agree with Hengwa, is that it's just malicious compliance. All what they were trying to do is for them not to account, that is, to this committee. Now, my proposal is very clear, Chair. I don't want us to even argue whether that this is a legal opinion or what. The direction that I would propose to the meeting is very simple. That PIC must provide to us the information that you requested. We will agree on the time frame. And on the basis of that information, would then, agree as to what is confidential and what is not confidential. And we then proceed, that is, with the meeting. I think we were supposed to deal with the issue that way, because my reading of the situation, this meeting was supposed to even take 2 minutes, that we simply instruct them that you received a letter from us, that is, on this day, you failed, that is, to respond to the letter. Now we are instructing you for a second time now that we want that information, and failing that is, which obviously they know the consequences, that after receiving that information, we then sit down and say, these are the issues that we want to engage them on, and we proceed, that is, with the matter.
Thank you very much, Comrade Kikas. I think you are narrowing it down. Comrade Kuno, Sengwa, Ross, and then I want us to tie it down and agree on how we move forward, and then that should be it.
Thank you, Chairperson. The moving forward, you should also know that we're going for recess soon. So, because the information, I would assume, it's already available. It's not something that they are going to still going to try and get the answers of the information that we wanted as COPA. But Chairperson, just to say to both the Chairperson and the CEO that, you know, okay, let me start where I wanted to start. You know that there are lots of employees, government employees, that have resigned for them to go take their pension because they hear on them, I mean, people read newspapers, Chairperson, and they've heard that you are misusing their money and they don't want to lose all their investments. And, you know, the way you are dilly-diving about the whole thing, it shows that they are true. There's something wrong. You are hiding something. And we have to get into the bottom of what you are hiding, because these are public funds. That is why you go around and even give political parties money when you are not supposed to do that at all. And it shows exactly that there's something that you are hiding. Chairperson, I would suggest that we meet in 2 weeks' time. This, I mean, to show that they disregard Parliament, they get a telephonic legal opinion. Where have you heard that? And Chairperson, I want them to go as part of their homework, to go and actually read what is Parliament all about. And maybe they should also check their own appointment letters, that this was a public entity, it's not their own private company where they should keep things confidential. We are talking about the breath and sweat.
Just a minute, Deputy Chair and CEO, I hope you are listening. All right, continue.
We're talking about the breath and the sweat of our people here. You can't just rubbish it off or do as you please. That's why I really don't understand. Maybe outside this meeting, we really need to talk to the deputy minister. I don't understand the legal opinion part, Chairperson.
And please help us to understand. Maybe if you can give us those guidance that you take from and actually see how do they interlink with the bills or the laws that we have passed in this parliament so that it can make sense, this legal opinion thing. Thanks, Chairperson.
Chair, I think I want to two, three things at most. I don't think it's necessary for us to get a legal opinion, quite frankly. I don't. I think that we are well within our rights in spite of this fabrication before us, and which I take a strong exception to in itself, because in 10.3 it says, it seems unlikely that SCOPA will undertake private hearings because they normally want to be seen to be doing their work by the public. No, we do. We want to be seen to be doing it. This thing is casting aspersions and not giving facts. And so for it to be thrown in our face like this in itself renders it just useless. So, Chair, I don't think we should waste the resources of the taxpayer when we can clearly see at face value, even on interrogation, Nuguti, this thing in jail. With all due respect to whoever wrote it, that's the first thing. So no need for that. We proceed with the hearing and the request for information. So, Chair, it may, of course, clash with that Parliament is closing. I would imagine that you and Manco can meet. A time frame of 2 weeks has been placed. So I think the volume of the information may make that difficult, but let's start a process, Chair, within the next 2 weeks, which would mean information is received. We look at that information, distill it, and make a determination where do we actually start with the information, and then put a timetable together. If, Chair, it means we come back early in January, I think that you can make that application now to a Chair of Chairs so that we begin with this process and bring it to a finality. Thirdly, Chair, what I would request, because I think it remains a matter which is hanging, because it seems as if the Chair, the Deputy Chair, and the CEO are not the ones, unless I'm wrong, who made the call to that so-called mysterious call for the opinion. I'd be interested to find out what was the content and context of the brief which was given, because I still believe, Chairperson, it's the absence of a written brief on such a serious matter was to enable to have a discussion which says draft something, give us an opinion or an advice. I think I like the term advice. An advice which prevents this process from going on. And then thirdly, Chairperson, what was the cost of this quote unquote legal advice, which was, as far as I'm concerned, a wasteful expenditure which should not have happened. So, Chair, I just put it to you that you now guide us to in the next week to receive information so that we can set into motion the process of interaction and engagement. And I doubt that members will be adverse to coming back early in January. Okay. Once they are done with January 8, we
okay.
can come
All
back.
Right.
Chair.
Okay. Now, fine. Ross?
Thank you, Chair.
And then we'll come with Boy and then Chulwan.
Just four very short points, Chair. Yeah. Firstly, my recommendation with regards to legal opinion, not an external legal opinion was my advice, internally from Advocate Jenkins in Parliament itself. It won't incur any cost, but I'm saying this on the basis because we've now established that there's a practice of confidentiality in the PIC. And I think based on that, we need a legal opinion on that. And I'd like to make the proposal once again that we have an internal process of sourcing an internal legal opinion from the parliamentary legal desk. Secondly, with regards to the public entity, and this is an interesting one, and I've consulted with my colleague David Maynard on this, I think the PIC needs a legal opinion based on this. You need to engage with counsel in terms of what is confidential and what is not confidential, so that you can come down when you and brief the chairperson with regards to those conflicting recommendations in the Norton Fulbright report. And then thirdly, Chair, just on state-owned entities, my recommendation to the PIC would be, Minister, to give us an indication, if any, what were the amounts invested in state-owned entities and on what basis was it done? If there, were there any investments in any other state-owned entities? And you can narrow it down to a certain financial year if you want to, but we would, I would be very interested in that. And then lastly, Chairperson, the status of the audit outcomes. Whether it was presented timely this year, what was not presented, and if any information that you think the committee should note. Thank you. Those 4 points.
Okay. Good boy.
No, Chair, I just wanted to say that we should have to concede and accept the leadership of the Deputy Minister for the fact that he has given us an opportunity not to be seen through the eyes of the legal team that has been giving them the advice, but to be able to engage with living human beings like us who knows their own duties, you see. That to a part has to be accepted. Because this legal opinion, Chair, is very contradictory. It's not helping at all, you see. What you see, I mean, you know, like even 10.2 and the attendance of the meeting. To look at that, you see, the committee meetings is what Shang was read at 10.4 and 10.5. Quite clear in that, in those contradictions, it clearly says that you have to see the committee and sort out the issues of confidentiality. And this is all what you've been saying all throughout your engagement. Talk to me, and through me, you'll be able to come to a conclusion about those confidential issues. Really, would have to support Honorable Shep, Keka. Let's go down to the date and let's see each other. Give us the substantial issues and we deal with them. Where there's need for confidentiality, as Honorable Menir has been saying, the chairperson of this committee will sort it out with you. But for us, we want the substantial issues for the sake of the public. The economy is doing very bad, and there's uncertainty from many of those that are supposed to be getting their pensions or their payouts about the stability of the PIC. As public representatives, we need to represent them. We need to be able to tell them that you are guaranteed that you're going to get your pension payout. You can take a retrenchment pay cut, and you will be able to know what is going on. That is not your preview, that. It's not you alone who must say that thing. The public representatives want to be able to interpret and make our communities and our society to have hope that they will benefit their benefits. But if you think you've got the capacity, we have left you there. But we, where we sit as public representatives, know that you don't have the necessary capacity of explaining to the people outside there and give them hope that this government is ready to assist them where there are challenges. Now what you have done is to close up that area where public representatives are able to talk to their own constituencies and allow them to understand that they'll benefit even if they're faced with a downsized economy. Now you want to make it your own baby, and that is very depressing. That's why you get this anger from us. But if they have sorted it out with our chairperson, wouldn't he be angry with you? We'd be engaging with you. Because we understand quite clearly where we sit at, the role of the public, I mean of PIC. We do want to support you. But we can't support what we don't know. We can't support an animal that is locked in Johannesburg, in cushy offices. We want that animal to get out and talk to us so that we take what is substantial. Explain it to our own people. So that no board, not newspapers tell us what's going on in the PIC. But we hear from our own engagement with you and come to conclusions that what is exactly happening within PIC. and go to our constituencies and explain what is going on. This is all we want from you.
Thanks, Comrade Chulwane, Honorable Mainier, Kuno, and then Kekan. That should really be the last. I want us to tie this down. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. Although I agree with comrades from this side who are proposing 2 weeks, I'm of the view that...
In the meantime, Ntombi Nkabindi, can you come this side? Yes, continue.
I'm of the view, Chairperson, that information is readily available. And if we say 2 weeks, I don't know if we going to or we'll have to deal with the matter next year in January. But we can read, we have been exposed to so many information, so many readings, we've been able to have to read, to crack those information and come and attend meetings. But I'm not sure, I'm not counteracting, I think 1 week, Chairperson, because we can receive the info tomorrow, today, tomorrow is Thursday, Friday, we can still receive the information Monday, and then we can decide maybe next week, Wednesday. We can even have a meeting in the evening, Chairperson, probably next week on Wednesday. That's my suggestion, number one. Number two, Chairperson, I want your attention.
Just a minute, just a minute.
Okay. Number two, Chairperson, I just want to bring us to the document that the so-called legal opinion, item number 10.16, which reads that we recommend that you write to SCOPA accordingly and send copies to the Commission asking them to intervene to avoid duplication of inquiries. I know, Chairperson, that you have already said inquiry, we put it aside. But I just went through my documents here to say the commission that was placed by the president. One of the other things it says it will look to media reports between 2017 and 18, whether this resulted from ineffective governance and functioning by the PIC board. Other things, it will also look into the employee who misused their position for personal gain. But it's two different things, Chairperson, to what we seek to understand. And also, I also wanted to say that if the PIC thought this is really confidential, what is confidential if something is already on the media? It's for public knowledge. Everybody knows what is happening. So what do you say then? Some of the things are confidential. Because this thing, they leak. They leak even from the PIC on its own. And you say, you come to Parliament and you say, this is confidential. There's nothing confidential, Chairperson. I just wanted to record that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Openness, accountability, and honesty define government's transparency in a free society. Transparency is government's obligation to share information with citizens. I just wanted to give them that message, that we are not going to back down. And I also want to say, Chairperson, 2 weeks maybe we won't be able to finish what we have started. I agree with Comrade Hlengwa that we are not going to seek legal opinion. I suggest that we give them a week to come up with all those documents so that we can deal with it as soon as possible. We can't wait for next year, because next year is going to be a short year altogether. But also to the PIC to say, this is the chance. If the media reports that we've been given, the information that is there is not clear or we don't agree with, this is our chance to actually talk to the public and say to them, this is what we are doing. We don't want a public or a society that is uncertain about their own investments, because you are trying to empower yourselves or use those funds for your own good, and to even fund political parties, which is not what we are supposed to be doing. So I'm saying, prove us wrong. Come in a week or two and tell the public what have you been doing. If Ntabiseng, as part of your employees, has done something wrong, let's deal with Ntabiseng. Let the law take its course. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I mean, I concur with my colleagues on the committee that we should convene a further hearing, and that it should be done on the basis of full disclosure of information to the extent that it is required by the law. The second is, I think the committee should rethink the legal opinion. I would be very interested in a legal opinion from Parliament, particularly on item 10.13, because I don't think Parliament can allow the perception to stand that a commission of inquiry trumps an inquiry conducted by a committee of Parliament. And also, if you look at 10.16, the perception that a commission will not, in the words of this legal advice, countenance a parallel process, as if a commission has some kind of jurisdiction over Parliament, which is an entirely different sphere of government. So that's the second point. The third point, which is I think also pertinent, I mean, will the PIC just simply tell us when are they going to disclose the list of unlisted investments, which, if I'm not mistaken, are valued at about 70 billion rand for the 2017-18 financial year? It is customarily and being done before the medium-term budget policy statement. We're still waiting.
Thank you, Comrade Fikan.
Now, Chair, let me assist the process. I thought the colleagues would talk to that. My firm proposal is we get a report from the PIC on Wednesday before close of business. And that report must respond to the issues that you raised in your letter. And on the basis of that, then, if there is a need for us to get a legal opinion, we'll then do that. But firstly, let's get the information as we requested from you by close of business on Wednesday, and we then look at that is your report. We do have that is legal advisors that is in Parliament. We can engage them. But we can only engage them if we do have information. We are not going to seek a legal opinion on, I don't know, I'm trying to get a proper terminology for what is in front of me. Unfortunately, it's not even a legal opinion. I'm not that is a legal expert, but this is not a legal opinion. But all what I'm saying is, a clear proposal is, by close of business on Wednesday, we get the information as per your letter that is to the PIC, and on the basis of that, then we'll take the process forward.
All right. I think let me address you as Deputy Minister, because then that will give you more responsibility and authority. Comrade Deputy Minister, having listened to what the comrades have said, maybe four things. One, I don't think that we'll seek for a legal opinion. I do think that our discussion has actually helped to clarify this legal advice, that it is weak, it is wrong, absolutely wrong. There is no way that a commission of inquiry can instruct us what to do. And it is patently false that the work of that commission is more important than the work of SCOPA. That is, a process of the executive cannot be above the work of Parliament, nor can Parliament's work be above that of the executive, because these two spheres are separate and independent. So clearly there is no way in which whatever we want to do can be stopped by whatever the inquiry is doing. I think if you don't have that understanding, go and seek a proper legal opinion on that. It just does not make sense, because if that is so, it means then we must stop everything. So because we're not stopping because those points are wrong. And the rules of Parliament. Anybody to appear before us and to produce any document that we want. That's what it says. But the caveat to it is, if there are issues on how that information must be handled, then that's where Comrade Boy comes in. That's where we now discuss that, okay, on this one and this one, this is what we think, this is how we feel. And this is what happens every day. It's a normal thing that does not even require lawyers. We do that with all departments. I mean, the police were here with a forensic audit report. And they told us, look, we have a problem. Some of the accused are sitting in the meeting. They are part of our delegation. What do we do? And we agreed, okay, you do this, you do that, you do that. And the meeting continued. No lawyers. You see, the SIU on SABC, they wanted a closed meeting. We said, tell us, what are the issues? They told us that, no, these don't require a closed meeting. And the meeting continued. And the price of bread was not affected. So it's a case-by-case engagement. So give us the information. Like I said to you, Deputy Minister, on Monday when we spoke telephonically, I said, bring the information to me. And then engage me on the areas that you think are confidential, and then we can talk. So, two. No. I was talking about we're not going to seek legal opinion. So I was explaining why. I was expanding on why we're not seek legal opinion. Two. Let us have the information next week. Comrade Kekana suggested next week Wednesday. It's okay. Next week Wednesday, close of business, let's have the information. And thirdly, I was engaging with our committee secretary here. We know Parliament is rising on the 7th, and our program ends on the 5th of December. We want to check whether we can't have a hearing with you on the 6th. I'm sure it will be a Thursday, the 6th in the evening, and also the 7th in the morning, so that we close and we go home having finished, or if we have not finished, we would see it. And lastly, I spoke about, I think I've touched on this one, on Parliament and the executive, that let us always keep this apart. Now, you see, we're talking about these things which are so routine in our engagement with the other departments and entities, except for one entity that I will not name, which we met here. And they behaved as if they're a private company. You know. They behaved as if they're a private company, and yet they're a public entity in transport. And I think we might be having a mindset problem here. what surprised me is that you appear before the Standing Committee on Finance from time to time. Why we have to go through this, I just don't know. And, Comrade Deputy Minister, the legal opinion that was sought by the PIC when the then minister wrote to them must also be given context. Because at that time, people in the PIC were claiming that Gigaba wants this information because it's part of the Guptas who want to loot the PIC. So you might have done those things as part of the fight back to avoid accountability, because there were all sorts of politics around it, and anybody who didn't want to be accountable just say, I'm under the attack from the Guptas, and everybody supports you. So I take that part with a pinch of salt, that you had sought legal opinion, this, that. Here, it's a different entity altogether. This is Parliament. We say, give us that information, and we want to engage. We must say, I said to you, we subpoenaed the board of Transnet in December, and they came January this year. So we're not averse, and we're not hesitant to do that, to compel the PIC to come. And I can assure you that there are entities that we've met here and elsewhere who were very contemptuous and acted like a mafia. They were like this, closed. But we've been able to deal with that. So my point is, it is important that the PIC comes with the right frame of mind. And the right frame of mind is, SCOPA gives you a platform to clear and to demonstrate what you're doing. And that if there are areas of challenge, us together with you, find ways of resolving them, because that is what we want. The stories you hear about us in taxi ranks, don't take them seriously. We are not out there for other things. We're there to assist in making sure that things are done the right way. We want to be proud of the PIC. It is the biggest of its sort in our continent. We want that to remain so. But when there are all sorts of question marks that are being raised, we can't ignore them. And when we have this run around, then it actually strengthens the suspicion that no, there is an attempt to avoid us because there are certain things that are not going right. So let's not work on that basis. Let the mindset be changed. So I think if we can do it that way, but we'll confirm the 6th and the 7th, because we must get permission from Parliament, which I don't think is going to be a problem. But we are prepared to engage. And just to confirm with you, all our programs from next week, they are in the evening. So it's not something out of this world for us. Yes, Comrade.
Thank you, Chair. Probably, I think the directive of the committee is clear. That's what I don't want to engage. But there are a few points I thought need to be stated. But I want to say, if we looked at amateurs based on how we have conducted ourselves, if I was sitting in your chair, I wouldn't have had a different view. I thought it's important to make that point. I'm saying if we looked at amateurs in the manner we're handling this case, if I was sitting in your chair, I wouldn't have seen it differently. That's why we apologize at the beginning, to say the manner we have handled this thing was not comfortable. It's because one was thinking exactly in that line. So I thought it's important that you must never defend what is not defensible. And I think I want to say, Chair, the purpose of this meeting has been served. That's my argument. Because I'm clear, if there's one meeting I will not regret in my life, it's this meeting. Because this meeting seeks to say, as president, let's handle our issues in a particular way. So I thought it is important to say that. And I'm happy that the issue of legality has not been confused. It has been articulated that this committee is sensitive to legalities. If there are legal issues, don't use them not to give us what we're entitled to, but let those be cleared between us and yourselves. So I thought it's important. So I just want to thank the committee for the manner it has been handled, because Chair would have had it. We would have had options of running away from this committee, and the worst could actually have happened. It was better to come here and be told by one of you, oh, we've done our work, and actually look forward to do better going forward. So I'm grateful, and I'm very happy with the management and the whole committee. I think we'll have to fall in line with the law. To close, I want to say, if the committee remembers my opening remarks, were deliberate. What I said, I am clear in my mind, the executive and the parliament are independent of each other. So you must know I was responding to that paragraph. I wouldn't have actually put it the way it is. That to me, I'm clear as I come here. The two are independent. You either talk about efficiency and not because of the legal, the other one, depending on each other. So I thought I made that point, but the committee has made it even more strong. General, on behalf of the board, I appreciate it. It was not an easy decision, but we commit to take into account what is okay. And I have no doubt the board will sit, fortunately, on Friday. It's one of the items that we're going to actually deal with. Probably find a way of responding in line with the directives. Thank you very much, Chair.
All right. Thanks very much, comrades. We're done for today. The evening meeting with the SIU is not happening. I think there was some amateurishness in the SIU's office in telling us that the head of the SIU is available when it's not. So we'll defer that engagement to next week. Thanks very much. We're done.